this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A week from today, the DNC will be started in Denver, Colorado, and we have the DNC welcoming committee that's been in full gear for a couple months now, getting ready to greet them with the Clinton Watch Project and with the Sheets of Shame. Boy, that's going to be fun. And with Power in the Park, fabulous, fabulous speakers at Martin Luther King Jr. Park, just, what, a half block from the mega abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood, their new Auschwitz. And one of the speakers is online with me right now. What an honor to have the director of Operation Rescue National, Flip Benham, with Operation Save America. Flip, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Bob, it is always a joy to be with you, and I just can't wait for what God's got in store for us in Denver.
Thank you, Flip Benham. Flip, the first time I think I met you, I may have met you early on, but the first time I remember, you were on a journey across America with a horse and a donkey, I think. Did you have a donkey?
Yes, we had a horse, a donkey, an aborted baby, the Ten Commandments that was broken. As a matter of fact, we had two horses, and that was a six-month project, brother, and we came right through your place, and you so graciously took care of us as the theology of the church house just became biographies. We walked right across the middle of America.
That's right. And could I remind you something that happened that trip when I first met you? We were a bunch of us. You guys came walking into Denver out of the mountains, and literally you got a horse and a mule and the broken Ten Commandments, and so we decide to go to the abortion clinic when they're doing abortions on a Saturday morning, Planned Parenthood. They've now moved. It's called Auschwitz, their mega clinic.
Amen.
And so, Flip, there was a girl being brought into the abortion clinic. She looked like she was 13 years old by some older guy to have an abortion. It just looked like it was so obviously statutory rape. So there was a woman detective there, and I asked her, would you please, right there, right in front of your eyes, there's a 13-year-old girl going in to have an abortion. How did she become pregnant? This is very likely statutory rape. Can you please talk to her? Not only did she refuse to talk to her, but she said she was going to write up the horse for eating the grass. Remember, he was eating the grass on the sidewalk?
I do, and she wanted the horse's name.
She literally wanted to write a ticket to the because of the horse eating the grass. A 13-year-old girl impregnated, going into an abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood. If there was incest, rape, statutory rape, they're going to cover up the crime. And this woman, Denver police detective, could not care less.
Well, and you know what? That's pretty much true all across this country, as we report almost on a weekly basis, Bob. There are people reporting the young kids that are being brought in there, and it can be nothing less than statutory rape. Mm. And yet the police, as a matter of fact, just in Connecticut, we had a policeman go in last week, go into the abortion mill, and he did find out that this was a 13-year-old, but the mother said it was okay, and that she, the little girl, had mom's permission, and he got all the identification and everything, and he said, well, there's nothing I can do here.
So the mom is pimping her daughter out, maybe to have friends. You know, there are these party moms who like to have their kids bring their friends over. They give them alcohol, let them have sex in the bedrooms, and the moms want to be friends with the high school boys in high school.
You've got it, brother, and that's what we have become.
That's what
the
we
United
have become.
States of America.
Yeah. So, Flip, Power in the Park is on the mornings during the DNC, right across from Planned Parenthood's new mega abortion clinic. And the speakers, what a roster of speakers, morning after morning. We have the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson.
Oh, awesome.
We have the Reverend Clenard Childress, who's with blackgenocide.org. Right. We have Ambassador Alan Keyes. Mm. We have Brian Rohrbaugh, president of American Right to Life, and Flip Benham. Wow, what an honor to have you on the radio show, Flip, head of Operation Save America, Operation Rescue National. So, Flip, and there are also evening rallies. There are evening rallies and morning rallies. So let's talk to the audience a bit about 20 years ago, the DNC went to Atlanta, and it launched a major new chapter in the battle to save unborn children.
Well, it really did. And you'll have to remember that the DNC was there with a guy by the name of Michael Dukakis, so it wasn't a real interesting convention.
Right.
And all the media was, of course, gathered in Atlanta, and they saw this group of people that were lying down in front of abortion mill doors. And this is where Operation Rescue just absolutely exploded mm-hmm. onto the national scene
yeah.
as people from all over the country witnessed gentle Christians who were singing, who were kneeling, who were praying, that were being thrown into paddy wagons. I can remember seeing that, Bob, and it just moved my heart. I said, my mm-hmm. goodness, these people are living out my theology. I mean, they're actually doing what I've been preaching about. I went to Atlanta to see if what this, you know, if what these people were doing was right and true. And when I saw them and I saw their hearts filled with repentance mm. and realized that this was the theology of the church house that had now just burst out into the streets and onto the scene in the Democratic National Convention, I began to realize that God was raising up a platform. And God was saying to his church, come out, come out. Yeah. Allow this theology that I have built into you to become biography, and I will come, and I will be myself will bring healing to this land if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and listen, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And Bob, I'm praying in Denver that this that what began, I remember it so well,
mm-hmm.
In Atlanta, Georgia, in 1988.
Yeah, we're here 20 years later, exactly. And Flip, I had on this show, in fact, it was in studio on Thursday. I was doing a show downtown Denver. I was interviewed by one of the big networks, CBS Evening News, on the abortion issue and the new personhood movement that's exploding around the country, the desire to end the effort to regulate child killing and remind people and teach people that it's a God-given right to life and that judges don't even have the authority to uphold a law
Amen.
That would say if you wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby.
Amen.
So that's the topic of the interview, and they said, can we get some B-roll, some background video? And I suggested instead of going way out to the foothills in our BEL cabin, that right downtown Denver is our headquarters. So we went down there, and so I was downtown unusually doing the show, and a woman, Jane from Centennial, called in. She said, Bob, back in the late 80s, early 90s, I had had an abortion. I was a feminist. And I was at Planned Parenthood. I was an activist on their side, volunteering for them. And I was probably one of the women screaming in your face when you were rescuing at Planned Parenthood. So, and now, Flip, she's a godly Christian woman and a pro-life activist.
Bob, there are so many people that used to be on that side that are now, they belong to Jesus. Norma McCorvey, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, Sandra Cano, all of these people that helped usher us in, at least legally through the Supreme Court, helped usher us into Roe versus Wade, are now confessing, professing Christians, doing everything they can to undo that horrible law. But I don't know one of us who was out there in Denver, in Atlanta, in Dallas, in New York City, at Cherry Hill. I don't know one of us that ever went to the other side. That's because there isn't one.
Well, Flip, praise God. And one of the others, a clinic director who's now a pro-life activist, Christian lady, Carol Everett.
Oh, yes. And I know her well.
Yeah. In fact, I met her at one of the events you hosted just a couple years ago, one of the OSA national events. And so anyway, this gal calls in. She was screaming in her face. Now she's a Christian sister in the Lord, working to save unborn children, and I'm telling her that back then that was Operation Rescue, And who walks in the door unexpectedly into the studio is Randall Terry.
Randall.
He happens to be in town for the DNC. And so I got to recount and flip what you saw on TV, and then you went. I wish I had done that. I saw it, and I was convicted because I'd become a Christian in 1973, 35 years ago. But I ended up, you know, focusing on money and a career. There's nothing wrong with making good money, but I did it to the exclusion of my relationship with the Lord. I was working for Bill Gates up in Redmond, Washington at Microsoft, been in Bill Gates' living room back before he was married. He didn't have any furniture back then.
You never told me that.
Oh, yeah, but he's a hardcore, you know, he's a hardcore liberal, child killer, pro-homosexual, real bad. But anyway, I saw these Christians on TV, on CNN, if I recall, I think, and it just blew me away that there were Christians who would lay down their lives, their convenience, their careers for someone else they don't even know.
Me too, brother.
And you know what came to my mind?
What?
The Holocaust in Germany. Mm. When I learned about the Holocaust, I said in my heart a prayer to God, if I were there, please, God, help me be the kind of person who would do something to fight the injustice. That's what came to mind.
And that's what you've been doing, by the way, brother. And you've been faithfully doing that over the years. And now God has given to you and the saints in Denver a platform from which you can proclaim the true word of God. When you do this personhood thing, what you are doing is you are just unfolding the pages of the Bible, putting it out and saying, we are standing with God here, and if you're not going to stand with us, then you're against us. And thank you for drawing that line in the sand, and thank you for shedding Saul's armor and withdrawing and unsheathing the sword of the Spirit in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, Saul's armor. I mean, David, if he trusted the Lord, he didn't need Saul's armor. And we have, Flip, you call it fake, what do you call it, fake salt?
Oh, the pretend salt of conservatism.
Pretend,
oh, deadly monster.
Pretend salt, where we have conservative leaders, organizations, Christian organizations even, that can comfortably coexist with Planned Parenthood and abortion for another 40 years. And they have lost their way, and there's such a desperate need for America and the body of Christ to see a renewed vision to end this Holocaust of child killing in America. And so 20 years after Operation Rescue was launched onto the national scene, here we are at another DNC, and this time they're coming, Flip, they're coming right into our backyard.
They are indeed, with the Messiah of the Democratic National Convention.
Oh, yeah, Obama, Barack Obama.
Oh, yes.
And Flip, when they were thinking about Denver, they had their site selection committee, and Denver was on the short list. We sent them notice to the DNC and to 50 Democratic offices all over the country for, you know, key Democratic leaders.
Right.
And we said, we want you to know you're coming into the backyard of American Right to Life and the and the hardcore street protesters who followed Bill Clinton around to 145 cities from Martha's Vineyard to Auckland, New Zealand. And when you guys come here, if you come here, just you're not going to be able to say you weren't warned.
Well, I believe that God himself has orchestrated this, Bob, to bring them right into the face of dynamic Christians who are unashamed of the gospel and do not fear to give a voice for voiceless little baby boys and girls. You've proved it over and over again, and God has said, this is my army, and Democratic National Convention, you are going to meet that army. Thank God. I'm glad to be a part of it.
It's going to be fun. So you are going to be speaking, in fact, briefly here and there and then more at length other times, but the events are in the evenings at a church, St. Stephen Church in North Glen. And then in the mornings at Martin Luther King Jr. Park. And on Monday, we'll end up with lunch, a barbecue in the park. I think just hot dogs and drinks, but it'll be fun. So I'd like to give some of these details. On Sunday night, the rally at St. Stephen Church, And I'm going to give you the address in North Glen. It's north of Denver. For those listening, please come on out. We are going to have a wonderful time starting 6:30 in the evening, Sunday night. The address for St. Stephen Church is 10828 Huron Street, H-U-R-O-N, Huron Street in North Glen. And this is part of the entire DNC personhood itinerary sponsored by American Right to Life and Operation Save America and Colorado Right to Life. What a fabulous time we're going to have. So, Flip, that night, Sunday night, starting at 6:30, we've got the heavy hitters, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson.
Hallelujah. He is awesome, Bob.
Isn't he awesome? You and I and he were just together in, where were we? Atlanta, Georgia.
We were in Atlanta.
Of all places. And he is awesome. You can't turn on the TV news without seeing Jesse Lee Peterson on the air. And the Reverend Clenard Childress, who heads up blackgenocide.org, and then Reverend Flip Benham, and Ambassador Alan Keyes. I mean, this is...
Well, now, Dr. Keyes, didn't he run against Senator Obama? Didn't he run in Illinois?
That's right, in Illinois, and that's where he exposed to the nation that Barack Obama, he even advocates the right to kill an unborn child after he's born. If the abortion was botched and the baby came out alive, Obama advocates the right to kill the baby even then after he's born. So they can no longer say it's part of the mother's body. It's part of the woman's body. It's a little baby it's a little baby in the mother's womb, but it's obviously a baby, and he still advocates killing that baby. That's how brutally wicked he is. Did you hear him on 40 Days of Purpose? What was it? 40 Days of Purpose?
Oh, Rick Warren's
show. Where?
Well, I don't know if that's a theological question or a scientific question.
Yeah, that's right. He was asked about his favorite Bible verse, and he said, when Jesus said, whatever you do unto the least of these, you do unto me.
He said that.
And today, Rush Limbaugh blasted Barack Obama, and Rush brought up abortion. And he said, who could be more qualified to be the least of these when you have babies that are so helpless and Barack Obama advocates killing them? And he would dare say, invoke Jesus' name and lay out his wickedness for all the world to see.
Well, it's stunning. And to listen to him say that it's above his pay grade to make decisions like these on when life begins.
Yeah.
Then the man is not worthy of being president of the United States of America.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Now, tragically, I asked my audience last week to take a blank sheet of paper and write a number on it. Try to come up with the number of children that John McCain advocates that we kill over 4 years of his White House if he won. And Flip, when you start adding up the classes, the categories of children that John McCain will kill, it's a startling number how many innocent, the littlest boys and girls that will die in John McCain's White House. Devastating.
John McCain has really befuddled the Church of Jesus Christ by the way that he answered Rick Warren on Saturday, August 16th, because it would really appear that life begins at conception, so he says. But he's willing to kill some of those, embryonic stem cell research. He has been a senator for 6 years. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking just the 6 years from 2000, when we had George Bush in the White House, to 2006, we had both Senate and House, and we had the presidency. We had all three branches of the government, and we did not do one thing that would save the lives of little baby boys and girls, nor did we ever stand up on the principle of God's word. And it hasn't been until a groundswell of folks like you and Christy Burton that are standing on personhood that have unsheathed the sword of the Spirit. For John McCain, he is not a hope. As a matter of fact, he is that conservatism that is pretend salt and is perhaps the most deadly enemy of real Christianity. It shuts us up.
Well, and you know, throughout his entire career, he has opposed all these, any effort for a human life amendment. He's opposed it. He's a U.S. senator right now, and Senator Wicker introduced Senate Bill 3111, which is glorious. I mean, it is truly glorious. There are no exceptions. 11 U.S. senators, of all things, it's startling, are signers, co-signers to Senate Bill 3111 in the U.S. Senate, and John McCain has refused. If John McCain believed that life begins at conception, he wouldn't advocate killing all these kids.
Well, amen. And so then the question is, Bob, why does the National Right to Life lend its endorsement?
Right.
Why are these pro-life ministries that are making a business of being pro-life, why are they supporting him?
You know, everybody wants to be on the winning side. And what people forget is Jesus Christ is the winning side.
Amen.
And John McCain is one of the child killers who has advocated the killing of children. You need seven digits to add up all the kids that John McCain advocates we kill. And you don't win by taking the enemy and making them your leader. But Flip, what happens is we have the boogeyman factor, because Christians have been taught, even by our own conservative and Christian leaders, to be afraid of the boogeyman. Be afraid of the boogeyman. You got to vote for John McCain. He'll protect you from the boogeyman. And Jesus doesn't tell us to operate based on fear. What would happen to America if a million more Christians learned, do not compromise on thou shalt not murder?
Amen.
What would happen? That would give us a way better chance at reaching the lost for Jesus Christ and saving the unborn than if we convince 10 million Christians to compromise on do not murder and we sink further in the muck and the mire.
Well said, brother, and that is why what is happening in the park at Martin Luther King Park, what is happening at the church, is going to be so the most important meetings that will be going on in Denver, August 25th through the 28th, are going to be those meetings outside where the church is going to gather, honor God's name, and stand upon absolute truth and call every, and that's called John McCain, Barack Obama, and this entire nation to repentance over what we have done and what we have failed to done for the least of these, our brethren.
Amen, absolutely. Now, Flip, let me ask you this. 30 years ago, there was an effort, a concerted effort by Christians to influence the Republican Party, to bring it over, to make it more godly.
Right.
And it seems when we look 30 years later, we look at what's happened in our public schools, we look what's happened with homosexuality and abortion and pornography and child sex. I mean, our public schools they're child sex advocates.
Amen.
That's the bottom line there.
Right.
And there's been a virtual utter moral breakdown, even in the Republican Party, with people like George W. Bush appointing homosexuals to all kinds of government, you know, respectable government posts and so on, and giving hundreds of millions of dollars to abortionists. So there's that crisis, but I think it's also backfired. Not only have we not held the government and the political parties to a higher standard, but it's backfired. All that compromise has destroyed even the moral understanding of Christians.
Well, and it has, Bob. It is so clear. And of course, the single entity most responsible for the Holocaust that is savaging our nation today. And I'm not only talking about abortion. I'm talking about euthanasia. I'm talking about the murder that is just that is shedding blood, and that blood is coursing down the corridors of our schools, workplaces, and streets. The entity most responsible for all of this is not the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, NOW, the Democratic Party. It is the Church of Jesus Christ. We have failed our nation, for we have failed to stand upon the Word of God. We've always allowed the enemy to compromise us, because we have been told that politics is the art of compromise. Therefore, we've got to, if we're ever going to overcome abortion, we've got to put little exception clauses
In there. There's
life of the mother, rape, incest, these ridiculous things. It isn't all right to kill a little baby because he was conceived as a result of rape or incest. It's never all right to break one of God's commandments. And the church has fallen prey to this lie called incremental. It's an incremental conservatism.
Yeah, compromised.
And we have been let down and looked for conservative mercenaries to fight a battle that only the Church of Jesus Christ is equipped to fight, because we win when we storm the gates of hell with the Word of God. And finally, it is happening. It is happening, Bob. It's happening in Denver. It's happening in Georgia. It's going on in Montana. This personhood amendment is the unsheathing of the God Spirit, and God has given you, Bob Enyart, and all of the saints in Denver an opportunity to proclaim that truth.
Well, thank you, Flip Benham, so much. So encouraging. When I look at young Christians across America, I asked a question in our church, Denver Bible Church, yesterday morning. We have a lot of young families at Denver Bible Church, and they have ministries to other young people. And I asked, what percentage of Christians or people go to Christian, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist churches, what percentage of Christians, quote, wait until marriage, unquote? And I asked, is it 90% that fail to wait to marriage? And the people in our congregation said, no, it's much higher than that. Many, many, many Christian couples are even living together before they get married. And there's a crisis of morality. What percentage of young Christians think homosexuality is acceptable? It is such a high and tragic percent. So, Flip, we need to raise that standard of Jesus Christ and his word. We're going to be doing that in Denver, Colorado for the DNC in the evenings at St. Stephen Church in North Glen, and every morning at Martin Luther King Jr. Park. And, Flip, I can't wait to see you.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, buddy. I always am, because we always get in trouble wherever we go, but God just brings us through it all.
God
and brings
blesses.
Us forth his goal.
Flip, last time I saw you, the workers were coming out of abortion clinics, not only quitting, but getting saved. Praise the Lord. Thanks. God bless you, Flip Benham.
I love you, brother.
All right. Love, Flip Benham. Operation Save America, Operation Rescue. In the evening, starting Sunday night, 6:30 rally, St. Stephen Church, 10828, 10828 Huron Street in North Glen. And then in the mornings at Martin Luther King Jr. Park, and that's at 38th and Pontiac. Go to 38th and Pontiac. That's where Auschwitz is, Planned Parenthood's abortion mill. And one block further to the west, there you are at Martin Luther King Junior Park. This is going to be an extraordinary week for the DNC. We have all our DNC welcoming committee work. If you're not a part of it, maybe you want to be involved with our Clinton Watch. Are you good at taking photos with a digital camera? Do you know how to upload them to the internet? If you do, we need your help. Call American Rights Life, 1-888-AARTL, Maranatha, with a fabulous school, and our website is kgov.com.